بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, we find that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the advices of different anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And apart from the anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the advices that certain righteous servants of His have imparted towards their family members, towards their congregation, towards their communities. An example of this is the advice that Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam had imparted towards his children at the time of his death. Then you have the advices of all the different anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Every one of them had imparted certain advices to their communities. And many a times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded and made specific mention of the advices that they had imparted towards their own children. We cited the example of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a righteous man who was not a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but who was indeed a great personality. And because of his piety, because of his knowledge, and because of the position he had assumed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only made mention of him in the Quran, but we find that there is an entire chapter that I'm trying to locate at this moment. Subhanallah. I hope I have the right copy of the Quran here. Yeah? I definitely do. Khair. Naam. So, we find that time and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of these advices, and we spoke of a great personality whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only mentioned in the Quran, and whose advices have been recorded in the Quran, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named an entire chapter of this great, after this great personality, this righteous man, and that was Luqman alayhi salam. And you will notice that even though Luqman alayhi salam was not a Nabi, whenever we take the name of Luqman, we mention alayhi salam. It is followed by alayhi salam, may peace be upon him. So he enjoyed that great position, though officially he was not appointed as a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had endowed him with great knowledge and wisdom that is generally endowed to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. The only difference is that Luqman alayhi salam, he did not enjoy wahi, direct revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we said he was not a Nabi of Allah. Some mufassireen, some ulama, and some scholars are of the opinion and of the view that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Luqman alayhi salam the option of being a Nabi. He was given the option. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Luqman, "Oh Luqman, I will give you this option. You have the option of being a Nabi, appointed as a Nabi by Allah, or remain a righteous servant of mine." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, and this is found in the explanation offered by the ulama and the mufassireen, that Luqman alayhi salam deliberately chose to be a righteous servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he was asked about this, oh Luqman, Allah gave you the ability to be a prophet. He says, with prophethood comes great responsibility. If it was a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would have accepted the commandment of Allah. But he says, with prophethood comes great responsibility from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I fear that I will not be able to fulfill this great responsibility of prophethood. He was the nephew of Ayyub alayhi salam. And what is unique about Luqman alayhi salam, and something that we should be proud of since we come from the African continent, is that according to majority of the scholars, he was an African. There is a debate or there is a difference of opinion from exactly what part or which part of Africa he hailed from, but majority maintain the view that he was of African origin, and most of them opine that he was from the land of Habsha, which is the land of Ethiopia. He was a slave initially. Luqman alayhi salam, he was a slave and he was a carpenter by trade. And his master was so impressed with his knowledge, and he was so impressed with his wisdom and his vision and his far-sightedness and the advices that he would offer, that he eventually decided this man, due to the knowledge and the wisdom that he possesses, it does not behove him to remain in this oppressed or in this situation of slavery. And he decided, based on his far-sightedness, his wisdom and his knowledge, he released him from slavery, and that is how he became a free man. Luqman alayhi salam, he lived during the era of Dawood alayhi salam. He lived during the era of Dawood alayhi salam, and it is said that prior to Dawood alayhi salam being appointed as a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Luqman alayhi salam was the one who would offer advices to the community, not only offer advices, but he was in charge of issuing verdicts and fatawa to the people and to the community. But when Dawood alayhi salam was appointed as a Nabi of Allah, he felt that there is no need for him to now continue with his services, and he became a student of Dawood alayhi salam. He lived for a lengthy period of time. He went on to live and witness the era of Sulaiman alayhi salam, who was the son of Dawood. Now, as I said, there were some very important advices that Luqman alayhi salam had delivered and imparted towards his son. And there's much for us to learn, both as parents, as a father, what are the critical advices and the pertinent issues that I need to discuss with my child? What are the advices that I need to impart towards my child? What should I prioritize when it comes to my child's upbringing? And as a child, how should I react and respond towards the advices, the nurturing and the upbringing that my father has to offer towards me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Luqman alayhi salam in Surah Luqman. And as we said, there's an entire chapter that is mentioned in the Quran regarding this great personality. Allah commends by saying, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Luqman alayhi salam enjoys a title, and he's given the title Al-Hakim. Luqman Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim means the wise. And you know what's interesting? You find that in the beginning of Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Hakim. Alif Lam Mim Tilka Ayatul Kitab Al-Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the verses of the Hakim Kitab. And in this chapter, which starts with the word or the attribute of this great book, Al-Hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the story of Luqman alayhi salam, who is also given the title Al-Hakim, the wise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we had endowed him with this wisdom, prudence, great knowledge. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا. We are the ones who had given Luqman Al-Hikmah, wisdom. There are different meanings of wisdom, hikmah. In the Quran, hikmah is used up to 20 times. Hikmah is used in the meaning of wisdom, deep, great knowledge, understanding, far-sightedness. Hikmah is also used in the meaning of prophethood, as we find in Surah Yusuf, when Allah speaks of the prophethood endowed to Yusuf alayhi salam. On that occasion, Allah uses the word hikmah. And hikmah is also used to convey the meaning or convey the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also referred to as al-hikmah. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have blessed you with al-kitab wal-hikmah. We have blessed you with the kitab, that is the book of Allah, and al-hikmah, wisdom, that is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah goes on to say, there are many advices, and hopefully inshallah we'll try and go through each one of them in today's pre-khutbah talk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him the first advice that Allah gives gives Luqman that, oh Luqman, we have blessed you with hikmah. Right? Every one of us seated here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed us with a certain degree of knowledge, a skill, intelligence, wisdom, intellect. All this is from Allah. That's why Allah tells Luqman alayhi salam, you were given some unique hikmah from Allah, therefore, ushkur lillah. And ishkur lillah, be grateful to Allah. Attribute it to Allah. Be grateful to Allah for that hikmah that Allah has blessed you with. That skill that Allah has blessed you with. That know-how that Allah has blessed you with. That knowledge that Allah has blessed you with. The acumen, whatever it may be, in whichever field it may be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has blessed you with that understanding, the knowledge, the insight and the wisdom. Attribute it to Allah. Anishkur lillah. Some of us are of the opinion that anishkur lillah in the verse that give thanks to Allah was actually the wisdom. Allah says, we blessed Luqman alayhi salam with wisdom. What was the wisdom? The ability to give thanks to Allah. The ability to give thanks to Allah is in fact a high level of hikmah. So the hikmah that Luqman alayhi salam possessed was in the form of always being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expressing gratitude to Allah. That's hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَشْكُرْ And whoever is grateful to Allah, attributes every blessing in his life to Allah. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Allah says, every ni'mah you enjoy, as great as it may be, as insignificant as it may seem, every ni'mah you enjoy comes to you from Allah. Acknowledge that on a daily basis. Morning and evening, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to acknowledge that. Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik faminka wahdak la sharika lak. Oh Allah, this morning, every ni'mah that I enjoy, no matter what ni'mah it may be, whether I'm enjoying it or someone else is enjoying it comes from you alone, oh Allah. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ Allah says, if you can do this, if you can show this level of gratitude to Allah, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرْ لِنَفْسِ You are being grateful for your own self. Allah does not require that. That gratitude and that thanks. It does not add value to the being and the dhat of Allah. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ When you give shukr to Allah and you attribute every ni'mah and bounty that you enjoy, when you attribute it to Allah, you are doing it for your own good. لِنَفْسِ It will only benefit you. Why? Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ The more you thank Allah, the more Allah will give you. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ What does Allah get out of punish you? مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ Allah did not create you to punish you. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ On condition you are always making shukr to Allah. Allah will save you from His punishment. So long as you are attributing every ni'mah and bounty to Allah, Allah says there's no point in me punishing you. What do I then get? Out of punishing you. وَمَنْ كَفَرْ But the one who is ungrateful. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِي You have not caused Allah any harm. Allah is غَنِي. Allah is absolutely independent. حَمِيدٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then moves on to the advices that Luqman alayhi salam, he set his son down. He had a serious chat with his child. He called his son, and this is not just some ordinary sitting that he had with his child. There are very, very important advices that he had imparted towards his child that you and I need to focus on, learn them, concentrate them, and make it a purpose of my life, or one of the objectives of my life, that I need to instill these aspects in the life of my children. What was the first? He said, وَقَالَ لُقْمَانُ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ Allah says, Luqman said to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِظُ While he was advising him, يَا بُنَيَّ Number one, the expression, يَا بُنَيَّ There is no, in the Arabic language, when addressing your son, there is no an expression that expresses a greater amount of love, compassion, and endearment than the phrase, يَا بُنَيَّ Ya Bunayya. Ya Bunayya, in the Arabic language, we refer to it as Ismu Tasghir. It is the diminutive form of Ibn. Ibn means a son. Bunayya means my loving child. So number one, before you express, or before you wish to correct your child, or before you wish to lecture your child, or advise your child, first thing you need to do is make your child understand that you have love for their child. Especially with parents, especially with fathers, we're not on what you call this, a pilot mode. The child doesn't automatically know the father loves the son. The son automatically believes that dad always is upset with me. That's the thing with sons and dads, for some reason. Mom, with mom, she automatically loves me. Every child knows that, right? But with dad, when dad wants to speak to the child, to the son, or advise the son, is, oh no, here we go again. But mom, all she has to do is just put her hand around the child's shoulder, and he's ready to listen to whatever advice she has to offer. So first, make your child understand that whatever advice you are about to give to the child, whatever nurturing is going to take place throughout his life, it is all based, steered by what? By love and compassion. Ya bunayya, oh my dear, loving, compassionate child, la tushrik billah. Number one, do not ever ascribe any partner to Allah. Your number one fundamental duty, responsibility towards your child is what? The preservation of your child's belief, aqidah. Number one, if the aqidah is corrupted, if the aqidah is tainted, the belief, and today we're living in a community, in a society, where the aqidah and the belief, the most fundamental aspect of the life of every believer, is constantly at threat through secularism, through atheism, feminism, all the different types of isms are constantly, you'll find constantly there is an attack, an onslaught on the aqidah, the belief of every Muslim individual. So number one, ensure that I do not put my child into such a position, I do not enroll my child into such an institute, I will not allow my child to enjoy such company whereby the aqidah, the belief, and the fundamental aspect of tawheed of my child will be a threat. So number one, this is the first advice that he offers him. La tushrik billah. My duty, O child, is to preserve and to correct your faith and your belief in Allah. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. There is no greater injustice than shirk, ascribing partners to Allah. It is the greatest act of injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then momentarily moves away from the advices of Luqman alayhi salam. In the center of the advices of Luqman alayhi salam to his son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the rights that your parents have over you, especially your mother. We will go through the ayat and translate them. Allah then says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. Allah speaks of an advice that he has now offered insan. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have instructed insan to be kind towards his parents. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. His mother carried him. وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. Weakness upon weakness. Difficulty upon difficulty. Let us not forget the difficulties our mothers underwent for our sake. Once Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, who was making tawaf of Baytullah. While making tawaf, there was a sahabi who was carrying his mother on his back and performing tawaf while the mother was seated on his back. And he leapt out, he cried out, and he sang a few couplets. And in those couplets he says, أحمل أمي وهي الحمالة ترضعني الدرة والعلالة هد لجزون والد فعالة. I'm carrying my mom on my back. You all have seen I've carried my mom from Madinah to Munawwara right up to Makkah to Mukarrama, approximately 500 kilometers. I performed all the rituals of Hajj with her on my back. And now I'm performing Tawaf of Baytullah with her on my back. Have I fulfilled the right that she has over me? Umar radiallahu ta'ala heard the man and he said to him, La wa la talqa, I really appreciate the commitment and your kindness towards your mom, but you have not paid her back for even one contraction that she experienced during childbirth. Anishkur li wa li walidayhi. Give thanks to me. Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, she carried you. Wahnan ala, you're part of your mother. I mean, the eyes with which you see was formed while you were in your mom's womb. So you will only look at her with love. The ears that you have were formed where? When you were in part of your mom. The brain with which you think, the legs with which you walk, the tongue with which you speak was formed while you were in your mother's womb. That's why you will only speak good, kind words towards her. You are part of her. Your heart was beating next to her heart, literally. That is how close you are to your mother, and that's why Allah speaks specifically about the mother. We move on to the advices of Luqman alayhi salam. He spoke to him about the importance of preserving his aqidah, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says to him, Ya Bunayya, now he wants to instill, because belief alone is not sufficient. One is you believe in Allah, over and above that you need what? Allah consciousness. You need to live a life of taqwa, Allah consciousness. One is I believe in Allah. I believe in the oneness of Allah. I believe in tawheed. But then living a life of consciousness, every moment of my life, am I doing what Allah wants from me? Now he instills this aspect into his heart, and that's what you and I need to do. How do I train? How do I bring about Allah consciousness in the life of my child? So that every given moment my child knows that he or she is living under the constant monitoring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Ya Bunay, listen, and look how easily and how simply he makes him understand this concept of being Allah conscious. He says, listen, my son, in takum mithqal habba, tell me something. He says that, you know what? If you have mithqal habba min khardal, something that is as small as a mustard seed, right? So you got this tiny, tiny mustard seed, and he says, takun fatakun fi sakhra, and the small, tiny mustard seed is in a huge rock. Sakhra is not an ordinary rock. It's a huge, huge rock. Right? So in the center, somewhere in that huge rock, you have a tiny mustard seed. Or you have a mustard seed that is somewhere in the universe, in the heavens of the earth. He says, Ya'ti biha Allah, Allah can bring it forth. Wherever it may be, think about it, it's impossible. In other words, every secret, no matter how deep you may feel that secret is hidden, I may not know about it, your mom may not know about it, your ustad or your teacher may not know about it, your buddies may not know about it, it's a secret that you have kept closed up, sealed up, no one knows about it. Ya'ti biha Allah, Allah can bring it forth. Allah can expose it, Allah consciousness. So this is another important advice and lesson he teaches his child in the form of this example. Then he goes on. So you have the soundness of belief. Number one, soundness of belief. I must ensure that my child never wavers in his belief, never questions. Today, Muslim children are questioning the existence of Allah, questioning taqdeer, destiny, and so forth. So number one, my duty and responsibility is to ensure that my child never wavers, never hesitates, or never harbors any form of skepticism and these types of thoughts regarding Allah. Number two, Allah consciousness is to instill Allah consciousness in the child. Number three, what does he tell his child? Ya bunayya aqimis salah. Now the correction of deeds. Because the correction of deeds and the acceptance of deeds, the validity of deeds, depend on what? On the correction of your faith. So once your faith has been corrected, he says, Aqimis salah, establish salah. Now look at the expression, and always Allah uses the expression in the Quran. Allah does not say salli. He doesn't command his child and say salli. Pray salah, or do salah, or perform your salah. He says, Aqim as salah. What does Aqim mean? Aqim means to institutionalize. When you put up a building, if we put a pillar in the center of the structure, that is aqim. Aqim is something that cannot be moved. Once you have established, it's established so well that it cannot be moved. For example, if you have a home, you've got a pillar there in the center, everything around the pillar moves. The furniture moves, everything else moves, but the pillar does not move. That's salah. So your meeting will move. Your doctor's appointment will move. Your sleep will move. Your meals will move. But that pillar, aqim, that is what salah should be in the life of a believer. It never moves. That's aqim is salah. Right? So salah should be that pillar in your life. Not just perform salah, or pray salah, or feel that you need to get salah out of the way. That's not the case. What's salah? Then he goes on and he says, so while you need to correct yourself, what does he say? He says, wa'mur bil ma'roof. You need to correct others as well. It's your duty, it's your responsibility. Every Muslim, once I have corrected my deeds and the deeds in my life, wanha anil munkar. So I need to call others towards salah, call others towards Quran, call others towards Allah, wanha anil munkar. And I need to stand up against injustice and evil that is being perpetrated in my society, in my community. Now nobody likes that. Right? Nobody likes, the moment you start doing that, the moment you start preventing people, forbidding people, speaking out against the wrongs and the injustices of others, what happens to you? You become a target of hostility. You become a target of abuse. You become a target of injustice. You might walk into a consulate, into an embassy, and come out in a body bag. Right? We have a glaring example before us. The moment you do that. And that's why he says, look at the advice, subhanAllah, Luqman the wise. He says, وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Stand up against all munkar. What's munkar? Injustice, evil, sin that is perpetrated. Stand up, speak out against it. No matter who is committing it, no matter who is perpetrating it, you got to do it. And then the next advice, وَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. And then, you're going to need a whole lot of sabr. Because the moment you start speaking out against injustice, against a tyrant, against thuggery, what's going to happen? You become a target of hostility. It's going to happen. But he didn't say, don't do it. He says, you go on doing it. Right? Wasbir. But then you're going to need a lot of sabr for what comes after that. Alama asabak. Asabak means you are going to become a target. A target of what? A target of hostility, a target of abuse, a target of oppression. You will be rewarded for it. You're going to have to go through it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for it, but you don't back down from it and give it up. Inna dhalika min azmi al-umur. Certainly that is from the most resolute of all measures. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.